بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، after the author discusses the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's high status in various different ways, he ends this section by saying كيما تفوز بوصل أي مستتر عن العيون وسر أي مكتتم فخست كل فخار فحزت كل فخار غير مشترك وجزت كل مقام غير مزدحم وجل مقدار ما وليت من رتب وعز إدراك ما أوليت من نعم بشرى لنا معشر الإسلام إن لنا من العناية ركنا غير منهدم لما دعا الله داعينا لطاعته بأكرم الرسل كنا أكرم الأمم. So he ends this section with these few additional praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, all this that you should triumph through arrival, hidden from sight, how hidden a secret. And then he says, unrivaled were the proud honors you received. None other was with you as you gained each degree. How glorious the precious ranks you were granted. How hard to list the graces that you received. Good news for us, people of Islam. For we possess a pillar of Allah's care that shall not be overthrown. When Allah, our summoner, called us to serve Him through the noblest of messengers, we became the noblest of nations. And by that he ends this section. The next section is on the virtues of knighthood, on the expeditions and the jihad of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, after discussing the different miracles, the Quran, the ascension up to the heavens, he finally finishes this off with some general praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says first, كَيْمَا تَفُوزَ بِوَصْلٍ أَيِّ مُسْتَتِرٍ عَنِ الْعُيُونِ وَسِرٍ أَيِّ مُكْتَتِمِ. What that means, the translation here said, all this that you should triumph through arrival, hidden from sight, how hidden a secret. Not as clear. So, what he is really saying here is that كَيْمَا تَفُوزَ, so that you will win, you will gain high success, you've achieved what you're out to achieve, بِوَصْلٍ أَيِّ مُسْتَتِرٍ. وَصْلٍ, by reaching that state, by arrival, by arriving at that state, أَيِّ مُسْتَتِرٍ عَنِ الْعُيُونِ, while you're hidden from all sights. وَسِرٍ أَيِّ مُكْتَتِمِ, and also, it's a secret that is totally veiled and hidden. What exactly does he mean by that? When he said beforehand, he said that you went from one haram to the next, from Jerusalem, from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem, and then after that you went up into the heavens. And you went through the seven heavens, going through each one, and everything was attainable for you. Every status there was attainable for you, and then you went even beyond that. This is so that you could win. بِوَصْلٍ وَقُرْبٍ مِنْ رَبِّكْ. You arrived at your Lord. You got the closest that anybody could get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the closeness that he's speaking about. All done in absolute secret that we can never be privy to. We can never understand all of this. So you got so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you were then وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then discusses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's elevated states in many ways in the Qur'an. Then when you got to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave you certain nobility, certain honor and gifts that He didn't give to anybody else. He gave you a level and a stage, status and a degree. Such a high level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that He's not given to anybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then caused your honor to become manifest to everybody else, to become famous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you, gave you greater virtues than all of the other prophets. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, He chose you to carry a lot of His secrets, who nobody from among creation knows. So such secrets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you, that not only other creatures that know, but even the prophets don't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you specially for that. And maybe this is what's intended, this secret or these secret things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him about the universe, etc. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran when Allah says, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then inspired him, revealed to him, gave him wahi and revelation of that which he gave him a revelation as. Without mentioning what that revelation was. Because of course, the idea is to give him a very special revelation. Tell him some really high level secrets, which is for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him privy to certain secrets of the universe and unseen matters. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is of everything. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been given a great and a huge amount of knowledge, more than any other creature. And there's no comparison between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, there's no doubt, but He's given a huge amount which we would never be able to fathom. Just having experienced what He did is so big that it gives us an idea of what else He may know. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him up there physically and shown him the malakut, the supralunary world, the seven heavens, beyond that, where angels don't go, then you can imagine what else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have given him that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reveal to us. If Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that I have filled two vessels from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that's what I have taken from him in terms of his hadiths. One of them I've revealed to people, the other one if I started revealing then I'd be killed. So these were certain events that were supposed to take place, certain things that were supposed to happen, certain leaders that were supposed to maybe deal with the Muslim world, and Abu Hurairah had been told about them, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu had been told about them. So imagine what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself knew. Just imagine that, which he did not reveal to us. So whatever he witnessed of the malakut as-samawati wal ard, the supralunary world, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and the malaul a'la, the highest assembly, the highest angels, and so on and so forth. Wara'a min ayati rabbihi al-kubra. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. He saw the mightiest signs of Allah. He saw the mightiest signs of Allah. Ra'a min ayati rabbihi al-kubra. We just can't perceive what he must have seen, except through the certain ahadith that he mentions and tells us certain things. So that's what he's saying here, that so that you could reach and win and be successful by this arrival, but to a level that is totally hidden, and attain some of these hidden matters that are totally hidden from the eyes, and these secrets that are so secret, that are so hidden, that are so veiled. And then he carries on, and then he says, فَحُزْتَ كُلَّ فَخَارٍ. حَازَ يَحُوزُ means to gather together, to encompass, and to take on. So حَازَ, that's what it means. Which means to gather what is yours. فَحُزْتَ كُلَّ فَخَارٍ. فَخَار means praise. It means praiseworthiness, praiseworthy status, position, honor. So you encompassed everything that was to do with great honor, and unrivaled were the proud honors you received. That's how he's translated it here. غَيْرَ مُشْتَرِكٍ. Not shared with anybody else. Nobody else was able to come with you or ever be at that same stage. So the honors that you have received, you are unrivaled, unparalleled. You don't have a partner in those. Nobody else will ever be able to have that. I don't think we've realized who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And He's opening this up as to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by this poem, may Allah bless the author, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us greater insight and appreciation and allow us to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more, so that in the hereafter when we really need him, even more than we need him maybe in this world. We need him in this world for our guidance. But in the hereafter, we need him to help us, take us by hand and enter us into Jannah. There's one tabi'i speaking to another tabi'i. One tabi'i was about to pass away. One of the great ulama of the past, he's about to pass away. Somebody else comes to him and he starts crying. Meaning the person who's visiting him, seeing him in this state, last breath, he starts crying. So this great scholar, this great tabi, he says to him, "Why are you crying for? Why are you crying for? If I'm able to help you, I'm going to help you in the hereafter. If I'm able to intercede for you, I'll intercede for you. And if I'm able to benefit you, I'll benefit you. So don't worry about it." So he's reassuring the other person. And the other person is crying because the other person is going to die. And the person who's about to die, he's reassuring the other one, "Don't worry about it." So confident, so much confidence. "It's okay, don't worry, I'm quite comfortable and confident to go in for this exam. I can't wait." In fact, it's not about exam, it's not about this pride of confidence of being able to deal with it. It's actually longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you imagine if that's what somebody else can say to do? And that's why Ibn al-Jawzi, etc., they also mention that you should stay with the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because on the Day of Judgment, if you've been with them in the world, on the Day of Judgment, if they don't see you around in Jannah, they're going to ask for you eventually, because that's what good friends are. So in Jannah, you don't necessarily become selfish. If you've got praiseworthy deeds, those praiseworthy deeds will be augmented more in Jannah. So they're going to look around. "Where's my friend? Where's that guy that used to come and sit around with me? He used to help me out. He used to, you know, take me from one place to the other. Or he used to just come and sit and just benefit, just learn and so on. Where's he gone? Oh, you know what? He didn't really do too well. He's not in Jannah yet. So then that's when the intercession will work. The people in Jannah can pull strings. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just loves it to get excuses to take believers who have some belief in the heart to go into Jannah. So that's why there's a benefit in all the good that we do in this world. We don't perceive it. We find obstacles. Shaitan puts obstacles in our path, veils us. But these are the benefits that will come from it. Just to be associated. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with whom he loves. There's so many hadiths that indicate these things. Good company. If good company has so much benefit in this world, why can't it have benefit in the hereafter? So then can you imagine what kind of benefit the Prophet ﷺ will be able to give us? I mean, there's no limit to that. There's just no limit to that. Because if anybody on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to, it's him. Because that is the shafa'a al-uzma, the highest intercession. Maqama mahmuda. We pray for that. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'im aati muhammadin al-wasila wal-fadila. Al-Maqam al-Mahmud. That is the praiseworthy station that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him. So, وَحُسْتَ كُلَّ مَقَامٍ فَحُسْتَ كُلَّ فَخَارٍ غَيْرَ مُشْتَرِكٍ. You have been able to attain all forms of praises and honors. Any dignity that's out there, you've been able to gather it all and you've been given it. غَيْرَ مُشْتَرِكٍ. Although he translates it here in English in the passive sense, it's been, you received it, which of course it is the case. But in the Arabic, it's more in the active, husta, you achieved it, to give him more. Of course, we all know everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you did all of this without parallel, nobody else has that. وَجُزْدَ كُلَّ مَقَامٍ. So husta and juzda. Juzda is more from, to go beyond the bound, to transgress beyond a certain limit, to go beyond where anybody else has been. So, juzda kulla maqamin. You have transgressed all levels. You've gone beyond. You moved over all ghayra muzdahimi. And izdiham means a rush. Izdiham means a busy situation. But you, ghayra muzdahimi. There's no rush there. There's nobody else there. It's only you. You've left everybody miles off. So you've just not won by a few seconds or just by a few steps or a few milliseconds, you've left everybody. There is no rush where you've been to. There's no rush. And that's exactly what he's saying. Now, if you put yourself, somebody wrote this. This is not hadith. Somebody else wrote this. Somebody's been thinking. You know, this poem, this poet has been thinking for a long time. What is the status of my messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's not saying this just with no backing. This is all a summation of what he's described before in terms of the events and the detail and what Allah has revealed to us about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said. So now this is just where he's summing it all up. This is his perspective and his description of where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And it may seem like an exaggeration, but it is not. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has physically been where nobody else has. So then can you imagine spiritually where he's been? Because generally, physically, you know, there's certain things you can do physically. And if that's been proven to us that he went so far physically in the ascension, then spiritually, subhanAllah, there are no barriers. In spirituality, there's no barriers. Physically, there are barriers. So there's no exaggeration here whatsoever, but subhanAllah, just think of this man, this Busiri, and what he's been thinking about. And he wrote this when he became paralyzed, and no wonder he got accepted, and his paralysis disappeared. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. So he says, basically, every level just became low for you, because you went beyond that level, then the other level, then the next level, and it was just, you just passed every one of these levels, and there was nobody, either from the angels, prophets, or anybody else that was able to keep up with you and to have the same status. Every high status you were able to transgress. Every high position you just passed by in that Laylatul Isra. There was nobody else with you. Because just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no sharik in terms of Him being creator, you have no sharik in terms of you being the most praiseworthy one. Then he says, again, this is just all praises. وَجَلَّ مِقْدَارُ مَا وُلِّيْتَ مِنْ رُتَبٍ وَعَزَّ إِدْرَاكُ مَا أُولِيْتَ مِنْ نِعَمِ وَجَلَّ جَلَّ جَلَال. To be mighty, to be great, to be abundant. مِقْدَار means the amount. مَا وُلِّيْتَ مِنْ رُتَبٍ وُلِّيْتَ وَاللَّا يُوَلِّي means to make somebody, give somebody authority over something. So that's why the wali is the governor, is the leader, is the amir. So wulita min rutabin. Rutab, rutba, status. He's saying such abundant and so mighty and so great. Jalal is just one of those words that is quantitative and qualitative. It's not kathir, abundant. And it's not kabir, which is big. Jalal, jalla, actually means both of those things and more. That it's big and quality. Right? So abundant is the amount of levels and status and degrees that you have been given authority for. So this is just an exclamation. Wow. That's the kind of thing he's saying. He's saying, wow, look at that. That's what he's saying here. Wa'azza, from aziz, mighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is azizun hakeem. So, عَزَّ إِدْرَاكُمَا أُولِيْتَ مِنْ نِعَمِ. And it's here mighty in the sense that it's so beyond, it's so big for us to perceive. إِدْرَاك means to comprehend and to be able to encompass something, to get your mind around something. It's beyond the ability of our mind to comprehend what you have been bestowed, أُولِيْتَ. What you have been bestowed of bounties. So it's beyond our mind to be able to understand and fathom and comprehend what you have been given of bounties. And again, these are the high status, both in this world, the hereafter, the great miracles, the place he was taken to, what he's been given. And just imagine the iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His iman was so high that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to tell him that we did not reveal the Qur'an to you. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. That, you know, you overdo it. He's just so in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. so focused on his task as a servant that he's fulfilling that to such a great degree. He has absolutely no doubt. He's given everything of this world, but the world becomes nothing to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And he taught you that which you did not know. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. But the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was abundant, was mighty, was great, was indeed very high. So, what's that amount? Only Allah knows. Only Allah knows what that amount is. Huge bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And they're not finished yet. The bounties, they're going to be, you can see them in the hereafter when we need them most. You'll see them in the hereafter, inshaAllah. Bushra lana. Now, the author, we've praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but at the end of the day, we want to get some of this. We want to be able to benefit from being his ummati. So then, he brings it back to us. He says, bushra lana. Glad tidings for us. Only because of this. Only because of this. Glad tidings for us. Ma'shar al-Islam. O congregation of Muslimin. O followers of Islam. O followers of those who submit. Inna lana min al-inayati ruknan ghayra munhadimi. What's the glad tiding for? The glad tiding is that indeed we have inaya. Inaya means somebody who looks after something, who caretakes something, takes care of something with great consideration, great compassion. We have inaya. We have this concern, ruknan, as a pillar, غَيْرَ مُنْهَدِمِي, that will never be taken down. We have something to hold on to, he's saying. This is, subhanAllah, he's saying, بُشْرَى لَنَا مَعْشَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِنَّ لَنَا مِنَ الْعِنَايَةِ رُكْنًا غَيْرَ مُنْهَدِمِي. We as Muslimin need to really rejoice and take this glad tiding because we have this pillar of great care for us which is never going to fail. So, the way he translates it here is he says, good news for us people of Islam, for we possess a pillar of Allah's care that shall not be overthrown. Allah loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves his ummah. We love him. That's our deal made. As long as the love is true. We just have to increase that love. So the poet is saying, after mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status in the Isra and all the karamat and the munajat, all the intimacies that he enjoyed there, all the great bounties that he received, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the vision, the beatific vision, leading the prophets, meeting with the prophets, going to Sidratul Muntaha, seeing the high status, seeing the high levels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting him the great bounties, ayati rabbihil kubra, showing him the great signs. And then he said, ya khayra man yammama al-'afuna sahatahu. You're the best of those who go and look for someone, you're the best of those who people can look for. So that now he says, we've got a lot to be happy about. As followers of him, we have huge amounts of satisfaction. And inshallah, this is permanent satisfaction in the hereafter, O Ma'shar al-Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is going to be a major support for us, which will never be able to be overthrown. That is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the karamat and the care and the status and the honor because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the afdalul anbiya, the most virtuous and most excellent of the prophets, likewise his ummah is the afdalul umam. His ummah, his community is the highest of communities. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best ummah. You are the most excellent ummah. Ukhrijat linnas. That have come out as people. And there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your example, as compared to the example of the previous nations, is like that person who wants to take on some laborers and get some work done. So he starts at Fajr time and he goes and asks for laborers. He said, who's going to work for me until Dhuhr? And I'll give them one measure each. One qirat, one measure of whatever the payment is. So the Yahud, they say, we will work for you. So they work for him from Fajr to Dhuhr. And he gives them one qirat each. Then after that, he says, now I need some workers from Dhuhr to Asr. So then the Nasara, they decide, okay, we'll take that job on. And we'll get the qirat each. They work and they're given their qirat each. Now, Fajr to Dhuhr is a very long time. Dhuhr to Asr is a very long time. If you look around in generally other areas. And Asr to Maghrib is the shortest amount of time. So, who will now work for me in this final hour? In these final moments? And I'll give them two qirat each. So the Muslims come in and said, yeah, we'll take that deal. And of course, it's all set up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give to them. They came at the right time. So, He gives them. So now the other two, they look on this and they say, what's wrong with this? You know, you gave us one, you're giving them two, shorter time they have worked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then ask them, did I shortchange you? Did I not give you what you were promised? I promised you one. They said, yes. So then He said, this is the grace that Allah gives to whoever He wishes. There are numerous, if you look in the books of hadith, Mishkat al-Masabi, Bukhari, etc., you'll actually see whole chapters of the manaqib of this ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned certain things about this ummah, and this is one of those ahadith from there. Numerous ahadith about the benefits of being in this ummah. So we're here anyway. But the thing is that just because the ummah is praised doesn't mean, and the train is moving, we're throwing ourselves off if we don't value it. It's like we don't want to be on that train. We're like, no, we want some other train. Let's get off this. The train of Islam is going to continue. Wallahu mutimmu nuri. Allah is going to complete His nur, His light. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ Doesn't matter who dislikes it. Doesn't matter. That's going to carry on. Question is that, how do we hang on? Some people are hanging on, some people are sitting properly, and some people are, mashallah, in first class. We want to move into first class eventually. Where we're really comfortable with Islam. رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا We want to be happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord. And with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our Prophet. And Islam is our deen. That's our confidence we want. And if a person isn't like that, there's a hadith, it mentions that a person who, when he does good, istabshar, then he's happy that he's done the good and he really feels good about it. You know, one is you make your salah and he's like, oh, I just finished it. And that was a tough. Right? Let's get back to what we're doing. The other one is, you make your salat and you feel good that you made it. You get off a tahajjud, you give some charity, and you actually feel good that you did it. إِذَا إِسْتَحْسَنَ إِسْتَبْشَرْ So that's the difference. It's a level. When a person does good, he feels good about it. He takes the glad tiding. وَإِذَا أَسَاءَ إِسْتَغْفَرْ And when he does make a mistake, then he seeks forgiveness. That's when we're going to get in first class. That's when we move up. If we're just hanging on, subhanAllah, may we never be thrown off. Otherwise, there are so many things happening in the world today that are literally to throw people off. That's what's happening. There's all thorns that are coming by. If you're just kind of hanging on, the thorn comes, okay, let's get off here. It's gone. We're gone. So, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٌ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says another thing, He says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا We made you the moderate ummah. The one in between, the extremes. I mean, when you're in between, it means the extremes. So we made you wasata. Ay khiyaran udulan. Most excellent, but also upright and with justice. And the reason for this is litakunu shuhada'a ala nas. So that you will bear witness and testify against the other nations. How can we testify against the other nations? When we've never seen them. How can we compare? How can we compare? How can you testify to something you've never seen, haven't observed? But that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us. That's what He's mentioned. This is one of the praiseworthy points of this ummah, that we will be shaheedan alayhim. We will be like that. In fact, we will be a witness for the previous prophets, that they did the work they were sent to, but their ummah did not listen to them. Even though we've never seen a movie about it. you know, forget seeing the reality of it. We've not even seen a movie about it, if you know what I mean. So the reason for that is because we believe in the Prophet ﷺ so much, and he's told us through the Quran and through himself of the previous nations and the stories of Musa ﷺ and how much he tried. And وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَهُمُ الطُّورَ بِمِيثَاقِهِمْ وَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ ادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا, and all of these other verses, and they did not listen, you know, and we did this to them, and you know, we did this to them, and then they said this, and they took on the ijl, and ijl lahu khuwar, فَقَالُوا هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَلَّا يَرْجِعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ, what's that, ضَرَّ وَلَا نَفْعَ. Then you see all of these verses, we have full belief in them. So the stories have been related to us. And this is, so then on the day of judgment, we'll say, yes, absolutely, this has been the case. Another way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored this ummah is that he's made many, many things easy as compared to the religious injunctions of the previous nations. How so? Well, there were certain things in the previous nations that, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he took the athqal, the burden of the way we had to deal with any kind of sins that were committed. So in the previous ummah, and the tawbah would mean that you have to kill yourself in certain nations. That was the hukm. And for us, the tawbah, mashallah, is just regret and asking Allah for forgiveness, the feeling of remorse, a firm resolution not to do it again, and to ask Allah for forgiveness. The other thing is that we, in this ummah, mistakes, genuine mistakes, and forgetfulness has been forgiven as well. Whereas in the previous, that was not the case. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed in certain other nations, sins committed by people in secret would become manifest, would be seen on their doors. There was something of that nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it veiled in this ummah. Many, many things like that. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept those veiled in this ummah, in this world, then why would he bring them up in the next world? Why would he reveal them to everybody in the next world? Then he says, لَمَّا دَعَ اللَّهُ دَاعِينَا لِطَاعَتِهِ بِأَكْرَمِ الرُّسُلِ كُنَّا أَكْرَمَ الْأُمَمِ. So this is to give the final point of what he makes here, which is بُشْرَى لَنَا مَعْشَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِنَّ لَنَا مِنَ الْعِنَايَةِ رُكْنًا غَيْرَ مُنْهَدِمِ. Good news for us people of Islam, for we possess a pillar of Allah's care that shall not be overthrown. When God, our summoner, called us to serve Him. So that's what he's saying here is, لَمَّا دَعَ اللَّهُ دَاعِينَا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us, and He is our caller, لِطَاعَتِهِ, to be obedient to Him, بِأَكْرَمِ الرُّسُلِ. He called us to be obedient to Him through the most noblest of messengers. Kunna akramal umami. And by that we've become the most noble of people. Because why would Allah choose the most noble of His messenger for a particular ummah if they were not noble? When we want to put somebody who's worthy, we're going to look for a worthy people to put them in. If you find a really good worker that comes, you have mashallah 5-6 stores, and you find somebody who's really good, a really good worker, he's got the brains to do the job and the qualities, you're going to put him in the right position. Something that is appropriate and worthy of that position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why this is what we're looking at, that, oh Allah, if you've given the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us to be guided by, then there must be something about us that we can just hope for. So that's what he says, that we are the ma'shar al-Islam, we are the people of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this high status, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our support on the day of judgment, and that's never going to be toppled over. So, why all of this? So then he responds. So this is kind of a response of a question that arises, that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all of that? So he says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave our Nabi the name Muhammad, the most praiseworthy one, that's where it all starts from. It starts from there. And then he gave him honor over all the other prophets. And then he told us to be obedient to him through the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's guidance. Then because of that we become the most noblest of nations. And much of this has already become manifest in the dunya. Because another example is that, as you know from many ahadith, that when we do one good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us 10 rewards for that. Everything is multiplied 10 times, and then based on additional features, additional effort, additional feeling, sincerity, it goes up to 700 times or way more. So 10 times is, for every good deed you get 10 times the reward. And then for every bad deed, you don't get 10 sins, you actually just get one. And that's only if you do it. And then you don't seek forgiveness from it. And then after that, there are also those, there are particularly two acts, two obediences, which are بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. There's no reward for that. There's no count for their reward. And do you know what they are? There are two. One is fasting, and what's the other one? Sabr. Right. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And fasting is a sabr. It's abstaining, isn't it, from food, drink and sexual intercourse. But it's general, so it applies everywhere. Fasting, the Prophet ﷺ said, fasting is for me and I'm going to directly reward people. The angels don't have a special marking sheet on that one. Right? This is direct. And sabr as well. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Because that's what Allah wants. Because if there's no sabr in this world, you'd be depressed. I've been asking this question with a group of psychiatrists and therapists and workers of that nature. And my question was that the Sahaba, they went to so many battles, they saw some really gruesome things, but they never came back and became depressed, committed suicide. You know, they never were traumatized, they didn't need psychologists to deal with them, psychiatrists, and so on. They, subhanAllah, I don't know, man, there's... Ya Allah. There was a documentary about some of the forces that come back from one of these Western countries. So when they come back, they go to these holiday places. And literally the person is asking them, so what are you going to do here? So he shows them the alcohol. That's what they do for. And they're going around with these big drums of this stuff, just drinking all day long. It just takes them into another world. It takes them away from reality. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We are so satisfied that Allah has given us the ability to deal with reality. Not to hide away from it for 2 days, 3 days, 10 days. You just have to come back to it. And it's harmful the way you hide behind it. So subhanak, subhanak. It's really very important. And then we have one more great reward. We have another thing which is so abundant in its reward, which is Laylatul Qadr. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Again, that's a specific quality of this ummah, specific gift to this ummah. Laylatul Qadr. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. SubhanAllah. So these are just some of the bounties that are manifest and that are clear. And that's why he has the absolute right to say this. لَمَّا دَعَ اللَّهُ دَاعِينَا. When Allah, our caller, has called us to His obedience, لِطَاعَتِهِ بِأَكْرَمِ الرُّسْلِ, by the most noblest of messengers, then كُنَّا أَكْرَمَ الْأُمَمِ, we become the noblest of all nations. Another poet says, so let all come. And now he flows on in glory. Yes, a whole people bear high their prince in triumph, processing on and onwards. He gives names to lands, cities, springs up beneath his foot. Attar says, all prophecy lacked the estate of one brick, a gap of greater sanctity. Our Prophet said, that precious gap I close for all eternity. That is, subhanAllah, so beautiful. That is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that the past prophets, what they came and they brought is like this beautiful building, except that there's just one place, there's something left, so it just looks a bit defective. So I've come to complete that structure. So he puts that in this beautiful poem. All prophecy lacked the estate of one brick. All prophecy put together. A gap of greater sanctity. Our Prophet said, that precious gap I close for all eternity. Another Turkish poet says, or is a Bosnian poet, I think he says, you shine to every self within the darkest night. From plane to upward path, your guidance ever right. Zati says, there is none before or after, equal unto thee in aught, seal of all the prophets' band, infinity thy dower wrought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the true status of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protect us from him turning his face away from us on the Day of Judgment and refusing to engage us by giving us to drink and interceding on our behalf. If we can have his intercession on the Day of Judgment, that is a huge amount of reward. And one of the ways to do that, aside from all the other following that we need to do, is to abundantly do salawat and send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially on Fridays, from Thursday Maghrib time to Friday Maghrib time. May Allah give us that tawfiq. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أو الله accept our du'as أو الله accept us for the service of your deen أو الله we ask that you purify our hearts. O Allah, we submit ourselves and our hearts to you. O Allah, we ask that you make our hearts the way you want them to be. O Allah, we ask that you infuse our hearts with your love and your light and your remembrance. O Allah, you allow your love and your dhikr and remembrance to emanate from every pore of our body, from every part of our body. And for us to be able to spend time engaged in your remembrance. O Allah, grant us good company in this world. O Allah, make our surrounding and our environment around us conducive for us following the footsteps of your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, grant this to us and our progeny and to Muslim community in general. Remove the aggression that Muslims are facing. O Allah, we ask that you have mercy on us, that you have mercy on us, that you have mercy on us and you forgive us those things which make you angry on our behalf, which make you angry on us. O Allah, we ask you forgiveness for all those sins that have prevented your mercy from showering down upon us, that have attracted your anger. O Allah, we ask you sincere forgiveness. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq. Grant us the tawfiq to do those things which please you. O Allah, accept our coming together on these Friday evenings. O Allah, grant us the true understanding of yourself and your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.